Even allowing yourself to laugh at a funny movie can be a tonic. As I write this chapter, I'm a bit down myself because of things that are going on in my life, and the angels have been trying to get me to lighten up a bit. Yesterday, as I was walking down to the store, about half a dozen angels ran past me calling out to me to smile. I told them I couldn't smile. They slowed down and stayed in front of me as I walked, joking around with each other like 10-year-olds might have done until eventually they got me to smile. I found it very hard to do, though. I couldn't face going into the little tea room that I normally go into, in case someone said hello. In a sense, I was trying to shut myself away. The angels didn't leave me alone, though. They were determined to cheer me up. As I got in line at the counter, the woman serving the food gave me a big smile. If the woman's smile was big, the smiles of the angels standing on either side of her were enormous. I sat down at a table, avoiding everyone. As I was waiting for my food, I decided to distract myself by looking at a newspaper. I went to pick up a paper on a table nearby. As I reached the table, there was an angel sitting there reading the paper. "This is my paper, Lorna," she said to me. "No, it's mine," I replied, and despite myself I had to smile. The angel came back with me to the table and sat opposite me, telling me to enjoy the moment. To be honest, in my sad mood, I hadn't even been conscious of the delicious food I was eating. Walking home, I was still feeling very down, but the angels hadn't given up. I could see an elderly man walking toward me, surrounded by angels. As I got closer to him, I said to the angels, "That's George." George is an elderly man I have known for years. He had been very kind to the children as they were growing up and had known my husband, Joe, too. I had never met him on this particular road. "What a coincidence, meeting you, Lorna," he exclaimed. I had to laugh, knowing it was no coincidence. This was all the angels' work. The angels around him started acting as if they were at a party, mimicking people having a good time. "It's my birthday today, Lorna. I'm 80, George announced and invited me to a party that night to celebrate. I wished him a happy birthday, but said I couldn't go to the party." George didn't take no for an answer though. "Who knows, you might change your mind," he said. I know that the angels were whispering to him to leave the door open for me to say yes. I'm not perfect, I don't always listen to the angels or do what I should do. Sometimes I don't practice what I preach. I didn't go. I felt too down in myself. I know I should have made the effort to go and enjoy myself a little, even for a short time, but I didn't. I rejected an offer of help from George. Try and be aware of people offering help or support. It might be a smile, some sweet treat left on your desk, or an invitation out. People will offer support, but sometimes when someone is down, they find it hard to see the help that is being offered to them. You can get into a habit of pushing things away from you, of automatically rejecting suggestions or ideas, as I did with the invitation to George's birthday party. It can require an effort on your part to smile when you are down or to accept an invitation for a coffee, but you need to make this effort. The angels keep telling me that the only person who can get you out of it is you. We can be a light, however, briefly, in someone else's life. Being depressed can become a habit. If you notice this tendency within yourself, say, "I'm not going to allow this to be a habit," and ask your guardian angel for help. This is particularly true of people who have been grieving. Time to grieve is important, but there comes a time when it is important to start to smile and see little joys in life again. This doesn't mean that you are forgetting the person who has died. They are in heaven, regardless of the circumstances of their death, and they want you to begin to enjoy life again. Remember, your guardian angel will help in many ways, including calling in the help of other angels. Many people I have met who are depressed have talked about a loved one who was good at enjoying life, or who would have understood how they felt, and I tell them to ask their guardian angel to let the soul of this loved one be around them in order to help. Your guardian angel is the gatekeeper of your soul, And it can allow a soul who is in heaven to come back and be with you and give you support and help when you need it. Often it is easier for us to feel the presence and hear the promptings of a loved one than of any angel. These souls, after all, once lived on this earth. Recognize you are not the only one, you are not alone. Lots of people suffer from feeling down at some time in their lives. There may be people around you today who are feeling more depressed than you. Talking with people about what is going on with you and about what you feel can be a big help. Talk with friends, family, a support organization, a counselor, or a medical practitioner. Talking about what you are feeling will make you more aware and hopefully will also bring in offers of help and support. The angels taught me as a child to try and not take things personally. This was important for me, given all the comments that were made about me being retarded, and the way many people treated me as if I was incapable or stupid. The angels told me that these hurtful things said more about the person making the comment than about me. When we are down, we are vulnerable and particularly prone to taking things personally. I know it's hard. I find it hard too, but try and take things less personally. Prayer is powerful in every circumstance, and it can be a very big help when someone feels depressed. The angels have given me a prayer I use when I am down, a prayer for joy in my life. Please God, take this cloud of darkness away. Shine your light upon me. Send your angels to help me. Give me the courage and strength to start to feel the joy in my life again. Amen. We all need to be aware of how people around us feel, particularly when they are down. I hate the phrase pull yourself out of it. That implies that it's simple. It's not simple at all for someone who is feeling down to have the courage and strength to pull themselves out of it. If it was that simple, no one would stay down for long. We all need to have compassion and understanding for a person who is down in themselves. It's not always easy. We need to have lots of patience around people who are feeling low. We should not give up on anyone, but need to keep on offering them support. If someone who is depressed has said no to an invitation 10 times, don't give up, ask again, and keep the door open. One of these days they might say yes, and that step could be so important to them. If you know that someone is down, make an effort to help. The little things count: a smile, making that phone call, inviting someone for a cup of tea, dropping in to say hello, having the patience to stop and chat. Little acts of kindness help people to recognize the good things that are within their lives. We all benefit from acts of kindness, both the doer and the recipient. Your smile or few words to someone in a line with you, someone you may never have met before, might make all the difference to them. I was with my daughter Ruth in the center of Dublin one day. Ruth's car was parked in a multi-story garage, and as we lined up at the pay machine, the angels whispered to me to pay attention. There were about a dozen people in the line, so I looked at them all. Very quickly I spotted a woman in her late 30s, and I could see she was really down. Her body lacked the normal vibrancy. She was at the head of the line and was searching in her bag for coins. She searched, but didn't seem to find any. She took her credit card out of her bag, and put it away when she realized this particular machine didn't take cards. Behind her in the line was a smartly dressed, tall, broad man of about 60. An angel suddenly appeared beside him on his left. The angel was very big and stooped over the tall man, giving a strongly male appearance. I saw no wings. The angel started to whisper to him. He moved a few steps forward to the woman with a hand outstretched, saying, "Don't worry, here's the change you need." Her face lit up and her eyes got bigger. She was startled by the kindness of this stranger, and I could see the vibrancy in her body increase dramatically. I have no idea how much it was. Probably not much. It wasn't about the money. It was the kindness this man was showing to her. She thanked him, and he smiled back, saying, "It's my pleasure." As I stood there waiting for my turn, after both the man and woman had gone, The angels told me that this act of kindness was not intended to benefit just the woman who couldn't pay. It was intended also as an example for everyone there in the line to take heed and notice an act of kindness being performed. Seeing and taking note of an act of kindness helps open us to other opportunities where we can help others, where we can be a light, however briefly, in someone else's life. Chapter 8, You Are Meant to Live Life to the Fullest and Enjoy It. I was in a restaurant in Kilkenny. It's a long, narrow restaurant, and one of the reasons I like it, is that from almost every table you can see out of the window onto one of the main streets. I was sitting enjoying a cup of tea when an angel told me to look up. I saw a mother and her daughter of about 16, in a school uniform, walk into the restaurant and sit down at a table opposite mine. The mother was facing me and the daughter had her back to me. On the right-hand side of the mother stood a beautiful angel. I could see long and slender wings, which disappeared into the ceiling. They were like silk, moving slightly, shimmering. The angel was dressed in flowing robes of a light mauve color, but gave no impression of being either male or female. I could hear some of the conversation. The daughter was sipping hot chocolate and telling her mom about what was happening in school, and about one of her friends. Several times I overheard the girl say, "You're not listening, mom." I could see the young girl's frustration with her mother. The mother drank nothing, and every so often I would see her look at her watch. I could see the back of the girl, and on each side of her was a big angel. At times they would turn and face me. Both angels were tall and elegant and gave a female appearance. I could see no wings. They looked different from one another but were dressed in similar clothes of green. Both angels had a hand on the girl's shoulders, and one angel put her second hand in front of the girl's heart. At times one angel would whisper in her ear. The angels were comforting the teenager and encouraging her to share what was going on with her mother. The beautiful angel to the right of the mother was leaning down beside her, whispering into her ear at the same time. The mother still looked preoccupied, fidgeting as if she couldn't wait to leave the restaurant. Every now and then the angel would look up at me, and it told me without words that this mother believed she didn't have time to listen to her daughter. She thought she was too busy. But in fact there was nothing more important she could be doing at this time. The angel persisted with the mother, though, and her daughter kept talking, encouraged by the angels on either side of her. Suddenly, the mother's angel stood upright and smiled at me. The mother called the waiter over and ordered tea and a cake. It was as if the mother had forgotten about all the things she had to do and had started to listen to her daughter for the first time. As I watched, the angel remained upright beside her. The two angels on either side of the girl remained with their hands on her shoulders, and every now and then, these two beautiful angels resumed whispering to the young girl. As I stood up to leave, I heard the mother and daughter laughing. I have no idea how long they stayed there talking, but I do hope that the mother will continue to appreciate that it is important to live every moment of life fully and that time spent with her daughter is very precious, and more important than most of the other things she feels she should be doing. The angels that are with me every day tell me that so many of us have got our priorities wrong. We think that our life should be all about doing things, being busy, and being successful. Many of us place a lot of importance on money and material things. Having some money is, of course, important, but many of us have placed too much emphasis on it. The angels keep telling me to remind you that when you die, you can bring no money or material things to heaven with you. What you do bring with you are your memories and all the love you felt on this earth. At times we are so busy that we forget to live life and enjoy the ordinary everyday pleasures. We try to cram so much into our busy lives that we actually forget what is important. I often see angels trying to help people to slow down so that they can enjoy life more. Last week, I watched a man in his 40s, wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase, hurrying toward the railway station. There was an angel in front of him with both hands on his chest pushing back against him, as if to slow him down. Every time the man took a step, it was like a jolt to the angel, and it worked like brakes to slow the man down. The angel spoke to me without words and told me that the man thought he needed to do everything that day and that he was completely overwhelmed. The angel told me that he had plenty of time to catch his train, so he should be walking slowly and enjoying the fresh air and the sun on his face. The angel had such compassion and love for the man. A few days later, driving along, I was shown the same man. This time the angels had adopted a different approach to make him slow down. They had him wearing what was like a child's halter, reins you use to stop a toddler from running away. There were two angels pulling on the halter, pulling him backward, helping him to slow down. The angels were working very hard with this man, but I don't know if they will succeed in slowing him down. They do sometimes succeed, though. I was in a shopping center recently with my daughter Ruth and there was a man sitting on the ledge at the foot of a pillar, surrounded by angels. The man, also in a business suit, was taking time out to enjoy an ice cream, and he looked as if he hadn't a care in the world. The angels around him told me he had been very busy, but they had tempted him with the idea of an ice cream and had gotten him to take some time out even if only a little and just sit there living and enjoying life. The angels were helping him to rediscover what he would have known as a child, what every child knows, how to feel fully alive. Many elderly people tell me that one of the few regrets that they have is that they rushed around too much when they were younger and that it's only now they are learning to enjoy their lives. I was visiting an elderly neighbor, Mrs. Stacy, recently. She was sitting in a big old-fashioned armchair as we chatted. She told me that the previous day, she had been out doing her garden, and that although she couldn't do much, what she could do she really enjoyed. She told me that she knew her guardian angel was there, giving her a helping hand. As she talked about the joy she had gotten out of her gardening, two angels appeared, sitting on either side of her. It was as if they were sitting on the arms of the chair. The angels looked like spring. One of them had a simple white daisy in its hands, and the other one seemed to have flowers of different sorts and different colors scattered in its lap. These all seemed to be bigger and more abundant versions of flowers that we know. Among them were pansies and more daisies. It was spring, and I knew Mrs. Stacy's garden wasn't yet in bloom, but I knew that in summer, it would be. The angels were there, helping her to learn to enjoy life to the full. We sat there as she told me that she enjoys life so much more now that she does her best to get pleasure out of all the simple things she might have ignored or taken for granted in the past. She told me how much less important material things seemed to her now. She did admit, though, that she loved both her big armchair and her garden. She told me that when I left, she would go for a short walk, as that is all her body would allow now, but that she would enjoy it and she would stop and talk to anyone who crossed her path during the course of the walk. The greater part of our lives is made up of all the small things, they're ordinary and the everyday. If we ignore these things or dismiss them as trivial and unimportant, we will miss out on life. We will miss out on what is really important. Whether we realize it or not, the big things are made up of a lot of little things. I've said elsewhere that I hate the question, "What is my destiny?" It seems to imply that life is about one or a few big tasks or goals. My understanding from God and the angels is that each and every one of our destinies is to live life to the fullest. This means living every minute of every day to the fullest and trying to be aware and conscious of every moment and, where possible, to enjoy them all. Your life is today. It's not yesterday or tomorrow. It's now. This moment. Life itself is a precious gift from God. God wants you to live this gift fully, and God wants you to enjoy it as much as possible. That's one of the reasons God has given you a guardian angel, and angels will always help us to enjoy life to the fullest if we ask them. I know life is tough sometimes, and enjoying it can seem to be impossible in those moments, but even in the toughest of times, there are always moments that we can savor and enjoy. Many people have commented on what a tough life I've had, but I don't see it that way. I wouldn't change it for the world. Yes, I've been very poor and at times wondered where the next meal for the family would come from or how to pay the electricity bill. Even through all of that, I continued to appreciate the small joys of life. I lost my husband, Joe, young, and for much of our lives together we had to cope with his sicknesses. But every day there were moments, even very short ones, to be enjoyed. Ask your guardian angel to help you enjoy the everyday things more, the simple things of life. Try to practice enjoying and seeing the beauty in the things that are around you. Practice doing it for a few minutes at a time until you get into the habit of it. Take a walk, for example, it could be in a busy built-up city. Take the time to notice what is around you. There is always beauty around us. We just don't always notice it, and we frequently don't think it is important. It's the little bits of beauty around us that help to teach us to appreciate life. Take a look around, and I know you will see something of beauty. It may be a bird, a plant in a pot, a building, a child with a smile, or something in a window. There is always something of beauty around us. In seeing beauty around you, you will appreciate life more, and recognize more the beauty that is within yourself. Appreciating beauty helps you to slow down, and the more beauty you notice, the more beauty you will see. Much of the time we just don't notice what is around us. We are lost in our thoughts or fail to give any importance or value to the idea of seeing beauty. Recognizing the beauty around us also helps us to care for our environment. Your life is today. It's not yesterday or tomorrow. It's now. This moment. The most important things in our lives are our relationships, from those simple ones with people we pass once in our lives and smile at on a street, to our more in-depth relationships with our families, friends, and loved ones. Relationships are priceless. They are much more important than material things, and far too often we take them for granted. As I was sitting in the lobby of the Westbury Hotel in Dublin, waiting for a journalist, a well-dressed businessman came up and asked for 5 minutes of my time. He told me he was wealthy and successful, but that he worked extremely hard. He told me he traveled a lot and read a lot on planes. He kept seeing angels in my hair, but the word angels in the title had put him off. He told me that he kept seeing the book that in every bookshop he went in, he saw it. He used to laugh to himself about how he kept seeing it, but he was certain the book was definitely not for him. Some months later, he was in line in a bookstore to pay for the books, and right in front of him was a pile of copies of Angels in My Hair. Finally, he picked it up, thinking he would give it to his wife. He paid and returned with the books to his car. He put the books on the passenger seat of the car and turned the key in the engine. It wouldn't start. He tried a few times, but to no avail. He decided he'd wait a few minutes before trying again. He reached out to pick a book up, not intending to pick up Angels in My Hair, but he did. He opened the book and started to read. Time passed. He could hardly put the book down. He read for a good half an hour. Eventually he tried the key again, and this time the engine started. He drove home. He couldn't get the book off his mind. What he had read had touched him deeply. He told me he hid the book in the glove compartment of the car so no one could see it and take it from him. He wanted to finish it as soon as possible, and the next day he did so. He said that reading the book shocked him to his core, and made him realize that all his life he had been concentrating on the wrong things. He told me he couldn't remember the last time he'd shown his wife affection, let alone told her he loved her. He had two sons. His younger was in his final year in school, and the other was already in college. He told me he never had time for them, that he was always too busy working, making money to acquire material things. He told me that he had never kicked a soccer ball with his sons and that he didn't really know them. His fear was that perhaps it was too late. He told me that after reading the book, he prayed every day, begging God and the angels not to allow it to be too late. He told me he didn't want to lose his wife and children. He said that for the first time in his life, he realized material things were not the most important things in life. A week after reading Angels in My Hair, he went away on an international business trip. He said he was very conscious that he was saying goodbye to his wife and children. He told me he wanted them to open his heart and tell them that he loved them, but he didn't know how and he lacked the courage to do so. When he arrived at his destination, he opened his suitcase, and in it he found a letter. He sat on the bed looking at the letter in fear. He didn't know what to expect. The first thought that crossed his mind was that it was from his wife, asking for a divorce. He sat there holding the letter in his hand unopened, praying, "Please God, give me another chance." He took a deep breath and opened the letter. It was from his younger son, telling him how much he loved him and wishing that he didn't have to travel so much. The father was stunned. As he said to me, "This was the first miracle, or at least the first one that I recognized." His son had never done anything like this before. He said he couldn't wait to get home and tell his wife and sons that he loved them, and that's exactly what he did. "We are a real family now," he said. "Your message has changed my life and that of my family so much. I appreciate so much more now the ordinary, everyday things of life. To be honest, you have probably saved my life." Chapter 9. Angels help the financially stressed. Two unemployed angels stepped out of line at a book signing and waved at me to get my attention. The angels stood beside a man in his early 30s and connected me with the man so that I could feel his emotions. I could feel considerable fear and anxiety that filled me with dread as I talked with others ahead of him in the line. After about 20 minutes, he got to the head of the line and came and sat down. He told me he had been unemployed for some months. "Lorna," he said, "if I don't get a job soon, I won't be able to support my wife and little daughter. We are going to be like beggars." There were tears rolling down his face as he talked. A very tall angel appeared beside him. Initially I thought it was female, but it seemed to switch every few seconds from male to female. It was a golden color so bright and glowed like the sun. The angel spoke to me without words, "Lorna, you have to give him hope and courage." My heart felt really heavy. The man was so upset and I felt so helpless. I said to the angel, "But how can I give him hope? I can't give him a job." The angel replied, "Tell him we will help." At this moment, I moved my hands forward and the man caught my hand. The angel lit him up a beautiful gold color. I know it was to fill him with hope. I listened to the angel. Every job opportunity that comes to his attention, he is to go for. He shouldn't think too hard about whether it's a job he wants to do or not. He should just apply. He should remember that the first job will just be a stepping stone to another one. I repeated what the angel had said to the man. The angel continued, "Tell him there is no loss of dignity in asking others for help. Everyone needs help at some time in their lives, and in the future he will be called upon to help others. Tell him he is not to give up. We will bring his attention to jobs and he will have to keep applying." I know that the hope the angel's message gave him provided enormous comfort. He left the signing with the strength and confidence to apply for those jobs. I asked the angels as he left whether he would be successful, and they answered, "Yes, as long as he plays his part and listens to us." I said a prayer as he left that he would listen to the angels. I meet and hear from so many people all around the world who are worried about money these days, worried about meeting their own and their family's basic needs. I understand very well how stressful this is. I myself suffered poverty at different times in my life. As a 5-year-old, my 4 brothers and sisters, my parents and I were left homeless after the old cottage we were living in Old Kilmainham in Dublin, collapsed. Then we had to live with a relation for several years, before getting a subsidized house. My husband, Joe, was sick and unable to work for much of our marriage, and things were very tight financially. I have told the story elsewhere that we were only able to have food on one particular Christmas day due to the kindness of a stranger who put money into an envelope and dropped it through our mail slot on Christmas Eve. I know the angels can and do help to make things easier for us when we are under financial pressure. They did it for me and my family, and I see them helping people every day. Of course, I do understand people who have their doubts about this, who feel that their problems are too big to be helped by angels, that if there really was a powerful guardian angel beside them, minding them, they wouldn't have these financial problems. I keep saying that God and the angels didn't cause the economic problems that we have in many countries now. People did. Many people stopped listening to God and the angels.